Okay, first, just want to say a big thank you to our Jayhawk Nation for showing up Saturday and being there for our guys, for our players. Man, that made a huge, huge difference in that game. You know, there's a lot of things that I think back to on that game that were very encouraging, and one of which was the way our fans got behind our team as we started to try to mount that comeback there in the second half. So just a big thank you to the greatest fans in the country. Thank you guys for being there, and we're going to need you there all the time. I appreciate that. I know our guys do too. You know, I want to just say before we get started, I got to take my hat off again to Coach Stiglmeyer and his staff. They did a tremendous job getting the team prepared to come in here and play against us. I said before, they're a really good football team. I take my hat off to him. He had a team ready to play, you know, and they came in here into an environment that was it was fairly warm Saturday, and I didn't see their team be affected by that, which you had to think going into the game that was something that might be playing into your favor. But he had them ready to go, and those kids didn't seem to be affected by that. So my hat's off to him. I think they'll have a great season this year as a result, without a doubt. So with that being said, let's go ahead and take some questions.
Third quarterback is not only good, he's really big, and you guys are kind of small on defense. Is that a concern?
He is a big dude. He's 6'7", 230 pounds. And, he's a talented guy. He can sling it, but he can also run it. He's done as much damage with his feet as he has throwing the ball. That's the thing that you got to be concerned about with these guys. And they're very multiple. And Justin Fuente is a guy that I've known for a long, long time. It is absolutely no surprise to me that he has been as successful as he's been as a head coach at the Division I level. I mean, a lot of people probably remember his time with Andy Dalton back at TCU and what they did, taking that TCU team to an Orange Bowl. And I'll tell you this, I mean, I was the one standing in line trying to steal what he was doing schematically, because he's a brilliant, brilliant offensive mind. Learned a lot from that guy. Knew he was going to be successful because of the way he handled kids, just getting to know him. And they've been really, really good. But, man, he's got some good players there. He's done a great job of recruiting. And that quarterback is not the least of which. He is a talented guy. He makes them go offensively. But he's got some guys around him, too, that really, really help him. So Justin's done a really good job with that football team.
How do you develop a relationship with Justin?
You know, like a lot of us, you know, our profession, we cross paths when we're out on the road recruiting. So, you know, Kenny Perry and I know a lot of those guys from the time that they were coming through recruiting our schools way back in the day when they were at other schools. So have known him for a long, long time. He's also a very dear friend of mine named Rajib Hussein, and you know, we've kind of connected through him for a long time. Just had mutual respect and got to know him on the road.
Tempo this week was one of the best in the country, but can it be better? Is it going to be better? Or are you guys where you at with tempo? Or
yeah, it absolutely can be better. I think the key for us is making sure that we control the tempo. And what I mean by that is just going one tempo fast, I don't know that that's always the answer. Now, this day and age, there's some really smart people in this country defensively. And if you keep the tempo at one tempo, they get pretty good at being able to defend that. Now, when you can vary the tempo and you can do some things like that to keep the chalk out of their hand last, that's really what we aim for. But I got to take my hat off to our team, Montel Cozart and Rob Likens. Those guys did a tremendous job of really accomplishing a personal goal that I don't know that I spoke about, but I wanted to see happen, which is creating an identity for us offensively. I wanted to see that we were actually staying true to who we were and not just running a bunch of plays out there, that the things that we were doing, we had been practicing and we'd done them over and over again, and we could become a little bit more efficient at it. And as the game wore on, we became more efficient at it. So that was good to see, is that we improved as we went.
David Ryan Willis, you were able to get him in a couple plays. What's the plan with
him now moving forward? Same plan. Him and the other guys, they'll all continue trying to develop. Like I said the other day, it'll be a week-to-week deal until one of them separates themselves. Right now it's pretty steady right behind Cozart right there. So, you know, DeAndre could be the guy in at any moment, and so could Ryan. Ryan, you know, like I said before, that experience the other day, Saturday, is going to be nothing. It's going to do nothing but help Ryan. He was one of 23 new guys that touched the field for the first time in a Division I football game the other day, which, you know, it's the one thing you can't give them is experience. So I know this, as sad as he was, and I hugged his neck after the game, as sad as he was, when I asked him, I said, dude, that was pretty fun, wasn't it? He went from tears to, yeah, that was awesome. Now, that was fun, you know. So it kind of gets to a point where they start appreciating and understanding why all that hard work that they're putting in becomes worth it on game day.
With Brian, though, now that you've burned his redshirt, do you feel, I mean, would you like to maybe get him more playing time here or there, even if it has to be just sort of sprinkling it in here and there?
Well, you'd like to. You'd like to. And as he shows development, that gives us the opportunity to use him more, not just him, but all the players that we have. I told those guys a long time ago, don't plan on trying to redshirt any of you. We don't have enough scholarships to do that. So every one of you have to be prepared to play somewhere, sometime. And he's not any different than the rest of those guys. We've told Carter Stanley the same thing. So you would like to, those situations, you know, they're earned. He's got to either beat Montel out and show that, and then when he gets his opportunity in the game, he's got to show that he can move the team when he gets in there, which I'm confident that he will. There's no doubt in my mind, but I think he still has some time to get ready for. I think that the other day was, you know, it was what we said the other day. It was the next step in his progression, his maturation of trying to become a quarterback at this level. So we'd like to get him more snaps, absolutely, but right now Montel Cozart is our starter, and he did a good job of leading us back the other day.
After you watched the film, what were the big areas defensively that concerned you, especially that first quarter, first half?
Well, I think maybe the best way to answer that is this. As we watched the tape, and as I came off the field on Saturday and we've dealt with the last 48 to 72 hours, I can say this. There's not a single thing that I'm discouraged about. Now, there's a lot of things I'm disappointed in, but there's 23 new players out there on the football field for the first time. They're going to make mistakes. And I think the thing that was kind of a ringing tone all the way across all of our positions was just trusting your training and playing with technique and not getting out there and abandoning your teaching or your training. And that 100% of the time leads you down the path of not being successful. So, and really, we know that's coming as coaches. It's part of the growing process. We know that. It's one thing we can't give them is that experience. So although we had a few more experienced guys on that defensive side, there's not a lot of them. So those guys are going to have to learn hard lessons. The thing that was disappointing is we didn't have to learn those lessons because we've talked about them and we've put them in situations. And at that point, we've got to do a better job of taking it over to the field and applying it because we knew the answers to the test and we just simply didn't use the information right. Like I said, sometimes you got to experience it to learn it. And I think we'll be better as a result moving forward. We've got to do a better job stopping the run. We've got to do a better job of holding gaps. This team that we're about to play can run the ball effectively. They can out-leverage you. They can out-gap you. They can misdirection you if your eyes in the wrong place. Boy, if your eyes in the wrong place with these guys, with Justin, you're going to be in for a long day because they'll be in the end zone. You don't even know who's got the football because he'll misdirection you. He'll option you. He'll drop back and become a drop-back pass team. I mean, they are very multiple, and you have to be very disciplined to be able to manage these guys and keep them in front of you. So we've got to do a better job of being disciplined with our eyes. We've got to play proper technique, be aligned in the right alignments, which alignment-wise, we were lined up okay. It's technique that we got to continue to get better at and eye control. So I think those are the things that we got to really continue to work on, and then we're stressing fanatical effort on every play because I don't know that we did as well in that area throughout the whole game that we can do. We've got to be a lot better in the area of straining all the way through the echo of the whistle.
Was that some of those missed tackles early, that's what you're talking about, just the trust in your technique and training, and maybe that accounted for some of those missed tackles?
Absolutely. I mean, the second play of the game, we've got a new corner sitting out there, and I tell you what, that kid came back and fought back after a hard start to the game. We left him in there to let him learn and let him continue to grow. But there was two other guys on that play that we were able to point out that if we take a proper angle, we got our head put in the right position, and we're running to the football effectively. The good news is we learned that on the first play. On the second play. The bad news is we had to learn it that early on the second play when we already knew that information. The great news is we stopped them, and they only got 3 points out of that drive, which really we never know which one of them is going to be, but that turned out to be one of the most important drives of the game because it gave us a chance to be in it at the end.
It seems, too, like a lot of your DBs were maybe in coverage and had the guy blanketed and then just didn't get their head around. Is that the way they're taught, or is that just them, the game being too new and that inexperienced, or a combination?
Well, there's a time when that head does have to turn, yeah. But part of the discipline of playing that position, particularly when you're in particular coverages, is A lot of times your eyes aren't supposed to be in the backfield. They're supposed to be on the guy you're defending, and the way that depends on what coverage you're in. But, you know, one of the things that, like I said the other day, it's never one guy's fault. Kwame Lasseter talked to our guys the other night, and he had a great, great message. He said, you know what, I think I was a really good corner, but I had some monsters pass rushing up front that made my job a lot easier. And we have got to be able to get better pressure on that quarterback early. We did it late, and it changed things for them. They still had receivers open. He just missed them because we hit them a couple of times, and it changed who he was. And it does for most quarterbacks. So we've got to create a better pass rush up front. And our guys know that. They see that now, how it all works together. It's never one guy's fault. It's a collective effort, coaches, players, everybody.
What
makes Ben Goodman such a great leader, and what type of season do you expect for him?
I think Ben's been here about 14 years. He's been here for a long time, which I think that has a lot to do with it. But he also is just he's a very mature guy, he works his rear end off. I think he's respected. He gains favor with his teammates because he works hard, he does the right things, and he produces on the field, and he does well in the classroom. We've talked to him at length about how you gain favor or lose favor with your teammates on the road to becoming a leader, and he may be the best example of that on our entire team. And he is a guy that he can speak and they listen. We need more of that from him, and we certainly need more of that from the rest of our leaders. We got to continue to develop, and we also need some good teammates. And those guys, I can say, they all were doing a good job of being a good teammate. We need some help there with Ben to start developing even more leadership there. And we're not unique. I can tell you there's quite a few teams in the country that are saying right now we need better leaders. And we have good leaders. We just need them to do more of it.
When you score a big victory in recruiting when you beat out good schools like Lawrence Armstrong, and you see him fly around the edge the way he did make that tackle. Does that pump you up when you watch that?
It's funny to hear you say that and to be able to understand that, because when he comes around the end in that one package that he's in and he goes, I mean, that dude's fast. Now, he comes around the corner and he tackles that quarterback. The first thing that popped into my head was me being in that home visit with Coach Perry and those guys and Coach Bowen and Coach Thibodeau down there, and I just pictured his mom and her saying, "Coach, we're Jayhawks." And there was a lot of people knocking on that door after that day. And I was just literally, I took a brief second to go, "Man, that was a good get. That was a good get to get that guy to stay here." Because I think he'll have a great career. I really do. And he's a great kid. I think he'll gain favor with his teammates quick. Well, I think recruiting, sometimes it seems very simple, but it's not always that way. It usually comes down to needs. You can't just always take the best player you want. Maybe your numbers say you need a running back, sometimes you don't. I think that might have been his big deal, is this last year in college football might have been the best year I've seen for running backs since I've been a college coach. There were a ton of great ones throughout the country. They were all over the place. That is not common. Therefore, those JUCO guys in those other years, they wind up getting a lot more opportunity. But this year, there happened to be 25, 30 guys out there that is not a normal year. I think that really had a little bit to do with the amount of traffic he had, because he was the national player of the year in junior college. I mean, this guy's tape was phenomenal. It was off the chain. And like I said before, we have some friends down there at Navarro, and right when we got the job, they gave us a call, and we got into it, and somehow we were able to gain his services. And like I said, he's another one of those kids that he's going to gain favor with his teammates fast because he takes care of his business in those four areas.
Tyrone led the team in pass breakups. We talked a little bit about him earlier, but he led the team in pass breakups, two pass breakups, but eight tackles. Usually that's seen as a negative for a corner. I guess, how do you see that, or how do you see Tyrone after that game?
Well, we tell those guys that your job description is going to change on a down-to-down basis, and you don't get to decide that you're just a pass defender and that you have to do a great job of playing football the entire game, which means at some point you may have to become a receiver and pick the ball off. You may have to go strip the ball and get it out. So he's no different. I will say this. It was good to see a young guy, a freshman, make eight tackles because we needed him to. whether we are, whether the problem is up front or in the back end, the deal is we need him to snap it again. And he made eight tackles, and as we look at the tape of those eight tackles, three or four of them, had he not made them, then they wouldn't have had to snap the ball again. And a couple of those led to field goals or even a punt, which saved points. So we value every possession, and every man on that team has to do a tremendous job of tackling. We can't have, it's kind of like coaching staff, I said, you can't have seven coaches and two recruiters because you're gonna be exposed somewhere. We can't have nine good players that can tackle and two that can cover, and then they if it gets to them, oh, well, we're just out of luck. You know, so they all got to tackle.
David, you talked a lot about Marquise Roberts during fall camp and just that he sort of established himself. What did you see on the tape? I mean, did he impress you week one?
He did at times. I think he's got a lot better games ahead of him. One of the things I was impressed with him at was halftime. He's been in some big environments where he came from, and I think the kids kind of drew to him at halftime. The words that he said, because he doesn't speak a lot, I think they spoke volumes. And he was kind of banged up there a little bit in the first half and fought through it and got through it and finished the game without, you know, making any excuses for it. And, you know, he's going to be fine, but he's a guy that was very vocal at halftime that I think we needed. So from that standpoint, even though he may not have been playing his best game at that point, he made an impact for us that had he not been here, I'm not sure would have been there.
Speaking of that, is it too early, or are you starting to see some of these young guys take a little bit of ownership? And I'm looking at a guy like Joe Dineen, you know, he's barely been here in any amount of time or played any snaps, and kind of looks like he has that, hey, follow me type of mentality. And do some of the other young guys have that too, or are you seeing that?
Yeah, there's a few, and you spoke specifically about Joe. That was a big question I had coming into the game was, what kind of production was Joe going to have? I know there was a lot of things made about Joe because he played a little bit at running back the year before in Duke, but I hadn't seen him play a snap other than just what we had seen him do in practice. So it was good to see him be productive. I think the key for us moving forward is, I think, let me answer that question. Yes, it's too early. And then number two is we're looking for consistency. You know, when they stepped back in here yesterday, our message to them, it was very, very, very basic. It was exactly what we talked about. We're going to be fair, consistent, and demanding. And that's how we're going to continue to move forward. That's why I was not discouraged. I was disappointed with some of the things I saw. But we've got the right guys in our locker room right now. And we've got the right guys on our coaching staff. And really the right people in this building. Because the mindset moving forward is where you need it to be. So I'm proud of that. I'm not proud of the result, and neither are they. And they hurt, and we all hurt as a result. But we didn't earn it. I know it comes down to something simple. We just didn't earn it. And, you know, we work on fast start every day. 31-7 is not a fast start. So we better start taking that to heart because it's going to be difficult to dig out of those holes every week. And like I said, this was the next step in evaluation. So, man, the great thing is we got a lot to learn from this game, which is good.
I also meant to ask you Saturday, sort of along those same lines, but I forgot. Was there a smaller number of players dressed out than normal, or than, I guess, the maximum you can have, or whatever? I just remember looking down at the sideline, it looked a little thin, or thinner than I remember. It could be me.
It's funny, we had a meeting today, and I said, fellas, did it feel like that sideline was crowded to you? Because it felt crowded to me. And no, we had a normal number.
Okay.
It was right around 70, 72, something like that.
Okay.
So,
how did your wide receiver group grade out? Who stood up?
You know, they're not where we want them to be. There was some highlights in there. I thought Trey Parmley played really, really well. We needed him to step up and make some plays for us in the game, which was good. There were some guys that played pretty well in areas you wouldn't expect. Maybe you didn't see it in the stat sheet, but I thought Josh Stanford blocked really well on the edge. He was very physical. You know, I think Darius Crawley is a guy that I felt his impact throughout the game, and when we saw the tape, he certainly showed to be a consistent player. He's developing as a nice player. I was proud for him. He's got to start doing that consistently. Steven Sims, I mean, he was razor close to coming down with that touchdown in the corner right there before half. on that fourth down call. You know, a couple of angles we look at look like he might have had his toe in. I just don't think we had the review angles to be able to look at it, to be honest with you. But just some of the things that I saw on tape, I was encouraged with by him. But we've got to be more physical as a group out there. There's a high standard out there to put body blows on those DBs throughout the game. So when the fourth quarter gets here, that those body blows add up. So we don't want a DB to go, you know, 5-6 plays without getting touched. He needs to get hands laid on him every play from the first quarter to the fourth. So he doesn't – we talk about stealing his concentration late in the game, because if you're putting your hands on him all game, there's going to be a time where he's going to fit wrong because he's trying to avoid you. And we need that to start taking hold. And I'm not sure we did that to the level we'd like.
Would you like to have Stanford have a bigger role than you did on Saturday?
You know what? We just need those guys to play the role that they're asked to play on a day-to-day basis. We don't care who does it. That's why, I mean, we were rolling guys in and out of that game. It looked like a circus, I'm pretty sure, guys coming in and out. And that's all part of what we do philosophy-wise. We do not care who is in there. If you're in the two deep and you make that two deep and you've earned it, we're not going to put a certain guy in on third down because the other guy is just as good as him. And we believe in him. Everybody in the team believes in him. Josh does have a skill set. You'd like to get the ball to him. We had a couple of calls to him. They just happened to cloud the coverage over there, and you don't get to determine where the ball goes sometimes, you know. And they had basically two in his area. We were trying to take a couple shots with him because he can't run.
You mentioned that fourth down. Was Sims the first option on that, or what was the reason for Cozart for Montel on that?
They were in man coverage. They were trying to show that they were bringing seven, and they didn't. They bailed out of there, but they still maintained man coverage in the deal. Montel made the exact right read. There was a couple things that we could have done on the other side as well, but they were mirrored routes, and I think he did a good job picking his best matchup. And he put the ball in there. You know, Sims made a great adjustment on that ball. I was blocked. I didn't see it, so I didn't realize what a good catch that was. He made a heck of a play down there. But you know what? We talk about field awareness all the time. We tell them all the time, listen, they're not going to count it as a catch if you're out of bounds. So you have to be aware of where you're at. And we just didn't quite get that done. And that was the difference in 7 points there and none.
Coach, I mentioned after the game that you want to see a film of the final 5 seconds of sort of hectic environment. Anything more come out of that and looking at that and figuring out exactly what happened there?
Couple things that we did see was that our training kind of took over. That was a positive that I didn't talk about Saturday is we almost got the thing off again because we have a repeat option where we can just get repeat. And Montel, to his credit, he got repeat called and we almost got it back. We almost were able to do it. We just didn't have quite enough time. But almost doesn't do it. We got to be able to do it the first time. But it was good to see that training take hold. Really, it was just I think he just did not get the exchange. And, you know, Keon, but both those guys are always – they're accountable for the exchange. We've said that from the very beginning. And we got to get it done. And we just got to continue to work it. That's our fault as a coach and staff. But that – I can assure you that we will work tirelessly to make sure that that never, ever happens again.
You had mentioned that, you know, hey, this is our first time coaching as a staff, too, in the game and all that prior to last week. Number one, how'd that go? How'd the feel kind of play out throughout the game? And number two, I'm curious what it was like after the game with you and Rob specifically and how you evaluated offense and the calls that got in and just how things ran offensively.
Right. Well, I was very pleased with our staff. They did a tremendous job. The communication all day was really good. I thought that they handled adjustments really well. One of the things that I was really proud of was the places that we've all come from, we've always adjusted well at halftime. I thought that our guys did a nice job adjusting at halftime. Probably most proud of the rookie, Gary Hyman. I mean, his third of the game had a touchdown return, had a punt return that gave us a chance to tie the football game. We had several touchbacks in the game, and we had a couple inside the 20 stops down there. And then probably the biggest challenge we were concerned about going into that game was him and up number 22 on that punt return. And his coverage, I mean, no, I could see technique working on tape. He did a really good job getting his guys ready to play. I was really, really pleased with the job that he did. I thought Clint did a really nice job adjusting throughout the second half. and continuing to apply pressure because eventually we got to him. I really thought Rob did a really nice job handling Montel, and I got to take my hat off to Montel. I'm probably like a lot of other people. I was wanting to see what was going to happen when he had an interception, he had a fumble, and then he was on the ground. I wanted to see how he was going to respond, and I was very, very impressed with the fact that he stepped back in there and he led us back to a potential game-winning situation. So we were encouraged by that, and really that hat goes off to the coaches. I thought Rob did a phenomenal job talking with him on the sideline, keeping him calm, making him understand that, hey, you're our guy, man. I mean, that confidence is so important, and he did a great job of it. After the game, Rob and I talked, and I told him, I said, look, I'm so proud of what you did in your first game as a Division I offensive coordinator. Not like he needs me to tell him that. I mean, he's as good a coach as I've ever hoped to be, but I could see his identity, our identity, and that's what probably made me most excited for him, as you could see our identity.
Let's take two more questions.
David, you may have answered this earlier in August, but Ryan Shadler, I guess Clint kind of found him. How do you find a guy that's not even really playing college football at the time, and how did you kind of get him in the program?
Well, I've spoke a lot about our relationships with guys maybe down in the South, but there's a lot of relationships that have occurred right here in the Midwest through Clint Bowen, and that's really how it happens. Communications with him and his high school coach, he actually played for a guy named Eric Childs at Heston, I believe, that was playing for me at MacArthur. And when I got the job, he sent me a message, one of 5,000 that I got, but for some reason it was Eric Childs. He played for me, and he also played at K-State, but he worked at Heston for a while, and he called me about this kid. And Clint had told me that he was available, and that he was here already. And the rest was history. I think it was really more or less Clint's relationships with those people that not only date back to his high school, but you know, being able to keep in touch with him and watching what he did as he was at Wichita State running. The guy can run. I mean, he's fast dude, track guy.
The short completion on that last possession there went for 3 or 4 yards, and the clock kept going. Was that a bad decision?
Not a bad decision by Montel. I think that we had a call there where we had the opportunity, if the nickel was in the right spot, to be able to get it to the guy that could get out of bounds. Unfortunately, in that particular situation, that nickel stepped outside number two, which forced us to throw it to number three, and that's really kind of where it happened. I think, yeah, we'd like to have that one back. But, you know, the good thing is they kept playing, and we were able to get another completion there after that. But, yeah, you want to keep that ball near the sideline or at least where you can get a first down and try to get that clock stopped. Yeah, we got to be better there.
And